you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding, but it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, again talking on the subject of the mark of a man. We've been talking specifically about this business of headship. Do you remember, those of you that are old, 50 or over, I guess, some of you remember the wonderful play, My Fair Lady. And I saw Rex Harrison do that play, and I remember his song about letting a woman in your life. Do you remember that? Let a woman in your life and your serenity is through. She'll redecorate your home from the cellar to the dome and go on to the enthralling fun of overhauling you. She'll have a booming, boisterous family that will descend on you en masse. And a large Wagnerian mother with a voice that shatters glass. I can still hear him singing that. Well, you need to remember, you men who are married, it was you who invited her. You invited her into your life. And there the analogy fits again. We're talking about the analogy between husband and wife and Christ and the church. Christ is the one who calls us, who woos us, who brings us to himself, who makes us one with him, takes us as his bride, enables us, goes before us, strengthens us, blesses us, sacrifices himself for us. If you men are to love your wives as Christ loved the church, you have to receive the strength to do that from God himself. There isn't a man on earth that can do it alone. A leader is a man who doesn't groan under his burdens. He takes burdens as a matter of course, even with humor. He's a man who knows how to keep his mouth shut about his troubles. Whiners and sobbers seldom become leaders. People like to follow strong men. Wives even like to submit, believe me. I've had to submit to three different men, three strong men. But the more masculine they are, the more Christ-like in their sacrificial loving, the easier it is for us women to submit to you. So the marks of a man are courage, responsibility, endurance, courtesy, headship, authority, and sacrifice. That's some of the marks. You can think of some more. I'll read the list again. Courage, responsibility, endurance, courtesy, headship, authority, sacrifice. Now, those things are supernatural. That's what we're talking about. We look at our own lives, we look at our spouses, and we're looking at natural things. And we're thinking, oh, wow, whoa, woo, there's no way that we can ever live up to this kind of a standard. No, there isn't. It's supernatural. But yes, there is a way. That's what we talk about on this program, things that people cannot do by themselves, but what God will most gladly enable them to do if they'll trust him, if they'll humble themselves and pray and start obeying him. And it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. Please believe me. Give it a try. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of you have been listening to these programs and it has nothing to do with you. You're not a husband or you don't have a husband. And you just think, well, what's this got to do with me? But almost every program has something in it that has something to do with every single one of you. Supernatural things that we can't do by ourselves, but God wants to help us to do. In my book, The Mark of a Man, I've said this about the meaning of the word to cherish. To husband means to take care of, to cherish. As Christ cherishes his own body, his bride, that is, us, so a man cherishes a woman, holds her dear, values her highly, treats her tenderly. Is that too much to expect of a man? Think of how you treat your own body. You don't have any trouble holding it dear, valuing it highly, treating it tenderly. Well, give your wife the same kind of breaks. Pay attention to her. Notice when she's tired or cold or upset or needing your arms around her. My husband and I saw a little drama when we were in England, and one of the lines, we heard this many, many times because this drama team was traveling with us where I was speaking, so I guess we probably saw it done about 15 or 20 times. And there was a little exchange there where the wife is trying to get her husband's attention, and she finally just screams at him. He's paying absolutely no attention. She finally screams at him, "You never listen to a word I say." And he says, "Oh, you're right about that, love." Well, listen to a word she says once in a while. If she's tired and cold and upset or needing your arms around her, put your arms around her. The love a man gives his wife, and I'm reading from Scripture here, is the extending of his love for himself to enfold her. Nobody ever hates or neglects his own body. He feeds it and looks after it. And that is what Christ does for his body, the church. The tabernacle in ancient times was a mysterious representation of certain eternal concepts that Israel was not yet equipped to understand. It was sort of lesson one, a holy place in this world for the eternal God, a visible sign of an invisible reality. Hebrews 9 says, "Fixed representations, full of meaning, a picture of the present time, ceremonies only intended to be valid until the time when Christ should establish the truth." And the priests in the tabernacle, you remember, were the stewards of the mysteries. And that's exactly what the husband is supposed to be in his home. He is the priest in his home. He's charged with guarding mysteries. It's his business to remember what marriage represents, the heavenly union of Christ and his bride, and to pay attention to the everyday means of living this out with the woman God gave him. How well I understand that often the attempt will seem so laughable, such a travesty, so ludicrously unlike what it all stands for, that both of us wonder how God could possibly have laid such a solemn task at our door. I think you can identify here, you married folks, if the toast is burning, the phone's ringing, the baby pouring milk down the mother's back, and the husband is frantically trying to find his briefcase in time to make the carpool, he will not at the moment feel much like a trustee of the mysteries, but he is one nevertheless. As it says in Hebrews, nobody chooses for himself the honor of being a high priest, but he is called by God to the work. Thus we see that the Christ did not choose for himself the glory of being high priest. You men, you wouldn't choose it for yourselves either, would you? But if you remember that you're called by God to the work, and if you witness to that calling in the home you establish, it will be a saving and even a life-transfiguring reality. You're a trustee of the mystery. Now, I mentioned in my list of the marks of a man, courtesy. Courtesy, it's one of the things lost thanks to feminist ideology. My brother Tom Howard, who was a teacher in a Christian college, once opened a door for a girl student, and she swung around to her professor in fury, and she said, "Did you do that because I'm a lady?" And he smiled and said, "No, I did that because I'm a gentleman." Well, the poor lady, who would not have appreciated being called one, I don't suppose, although she could call herself one, she didn't really understand courtesy. She didn't understand that it's not an insult when a man opens a door for a lady or pulls a chair out for her. It's not a statement, you're too weak to do this for yourself, you need my help. It's a way of offering to her an unpaid for, unasked for, unclaimed act of love, of sacrificial courtesy. Equality ruins the glorious pattern of God's universe. God's universe is set up as a hierarchy. There's rule and submission. The Bible even says that the sun and the moon were made to rule the day and the night, and there are lesser lights. That doesn't mean that the stars are of less importance to God, that he loves them less or spent less time designing them. It means that they have a different position in the hierarchy. There are angels and there are archangels. Archangels have a higher position in the hierarchy than the angels. And there are cherubim and seraphim in a higher position than the archangels. And in the human category, in our level, we have two separate modalities, male and female, man and woman, husband and wife, one to be the initiator, one to be the responder. King and subject, father and son, parent and child, husband and wife. If we insist on rights, we lose our privileges. And as Kay Ebeling said in her article, The Failure of Feminism, which appeared in Newsweek in November of 1990, feminism gave men all the financial and personal advantages over women. The reality of feminism is bondage to women. Courtesy brings us back to sacrifice. It is sacrificial symbolism, an offering. Gentlemanliness is a gift a man may offer a woman, and vice versa. Manhood is a gift from God, and you offer it back to him. May God help you to be men and to be real men, true men, only men, for his glory.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.